Well, the scripture reading is a very popular verse. Randall will put it on the wall. It's a kind of a short one. It's found in Exodus chapter 20, the first three verses. So if you will stand in honor of the Holy Scriptures, you can read it off the wall or say it from your Bible or just if you probably got it memorized. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 3. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, who brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You may be seated. Today's message is Sandy Hook Unity, the Plot Thickens. I saw this take place. I was watching television when they interrupted the broadcast and brought this in, and I watched for the next 7 hours. Mainly, and Rand and I watched it. And I was flabbergasted because the story changed dramatically. They even had Ryan Lanza, who was 24 years old, shoot the girlfriend of somebody in Hoboken, New Jersey, killed the father, shot the mother, and went to school. He went to school and shot the mother at school, who was a kindergarten teacher. It was so bizarre. And they kept unraveling the story. I said, this is bizarre. But I'm going to show you what is really in this story that I didn't know about until a couple weeks ago. Sandy Hook is nothing more than it's a massive hoax. It's a false flag. If you haven't come to see the false flags, as you go back in history, there was the Gulf of Tonkin. Jesse Ventura is livid about that because that cost a lot of lives. They said that was true. Now they admitted. They admitted it was made up. Pearl Harbor, I remember that one. When I was at Miami, I wrote a thesis on that, a paper on Pearl Harbor. I got a D-. Professor wrote, you should not be influenced by the propaganda. Well, it was only the the head of the Navy wrote it. He wrote a book about it. Said it was, he called the president. The president was on the golf course, wouldn't take his call and all that kind of stuff. The Lusitania, that's before I was born. The 9/11 destruction of the Twin Towers and the Pentagon. That's when I was hoodwinked, had no idea what was going on, but I found out. You can answer that very easily. How did this 47-story tower fall down at 5:30 in the afternoon in 7 seconds? Because there was a little fire in the building. Aurora movie theater shooting, the Boston Marathon bombing, the JFK assassination, and the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting is all examples of false flag. It just doesn't add up when you do a little investigating. I'll talk a little bit about the JFK assassination because 50 years ago last week, they held a moment of silence in Dallas, Texas at the spot of the murder on Friday, November 22nd. It was 50 years ago. We are supposed to believe that a lone communist shot President Kennedy from the sixth floor of a book depository using a very inaccurate firearm with a tree that blocked his shot. The shot supposedly entered JFK's back and ricocheted upwards and hit Governor John Conley. There's nothing mentioned that he was murdered in the front by shots from the grassy knoll. There were other people who were killed the same time period, which are not mentioned. I picked this off the internet. Speaking via teleconference to a Duquesne University symposium marking the 50th anniversary of the assassination, his name is Robert N. McClelland. He was the first doctor in Parkland Hospital's Trauma Room 1 to notice a massive wound in the back of Kennedy's skull, and a trauma of that size had to be an exit wound. Quote, the whole right side of his skull was gone. I could look inside his skull cavity. Obviously, it was a mortal wound. he told a spellbound audience of legal, medical, forensic, and investigative experts and the public who packed the university's Power Paul room. Dr. McClellan, who's now 83 years old, so he would have been 33 at the time, and Professor Emeritus at the University of Texas Southwestern Medical Center, said that because it was an exit wound, it logically followed that it had to be fired from in front of the president's limousine. And in turn, that meant a second gunman was involved in the assassination, contradicting the Warren Commission's finding that there was but one assassin. The Warren Commission determined that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone when he fired three times with a high-powered rifle on the president's motorcade in Dealey Plaza from the sixth floor of a Texas school book depository. The commission said that one bullet missed, another went through the president's neck and also wounded Texas Governor John Conley, the so-called single bullet theory, and the third caused the fatal head wound. But Dr. McClellan was resolute, quote, having seen what I saw, unquote, in the emergency room and then viewing the Zapruder film of the assassination, he said he believes JFK, quote, was initially hit from a bullet fired from the sixth floor that went through his back and out through his neck. The next injury was caused by somebody behind the picket fence on the grassy knoll firing a shot that blew out the right side of his head. Now that's from the doctor, the first doctor at the hospital that saw him. This is but one of many views on what happened that fateful day. But I tell you, the same thing is even worse with Sandy Hook. The Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting took place on December 14th, 2012. So we're coming up to the one-year anniversary. It'll be here in 13 days. It'll be after my next sermon. So that's why I'm brilliant. But it sure was strange. There were 160, they counted them in the helicopter video, 160 official police and government cars at the school and fire station. There were 92 at the school and 68 at the firehouse. Some were there an hour and a half before the beginning of the shooting. But there were no phone pictures or videos that were seen on television or any other public means. I mean, no one had a phone camera and a video? They could take a video? None from the parents or children. Not one. No actual picture of the four guns in the shooter's possession. If you don't want to show the murdered kids, you can show the guy who did the shooting. Show the guns. How strange that is in today's modern media. You see that all the time on other ones. There were no pictures of any kind taken of the crime scene. No photos of any kind were shot of the dead students or adults. There were no photos or videos showing any of the remaining live children, approximately 700, leaving the elementary school. There was one picture of a group being let out of the school that was shown to have got nauseous, but that was from a previous drill months earlier. Then there was the picture of Allison N. Wyatt, but it was the wrong one. It took a lot of work to get the picture of the right girl and the picture of the girl who lived miles away from Sandy Hook and never went to Sandy Hook Elementary School off the pictures of the victims of the slaughter. She was alive and breathing, and her mother was doing everything she could to get her picture off the list. It took over 2 weeks, even after the girl's funeral, and it was finally taken off. What do you think if your daughter's picture's up there saying that she was murdered? And it wasn't her. She wasn't murdered. She didn't even live in Sandy Hook. She had a different name, went to a different school, but it was her picture. So the mother complained. But why didn't Allison Wyatt's parents complain that it was the wrong picture of their daughter? What if your daughter was slain and they got another picture up there? Wouldn't you complain? They never complained. And what is their parent's name? You don't know it? It was never mentioned. Why don't we know who they are? Why didn't they complain? And there was never an apology given for this horrible mistake. How did it happen? Now, if you got a transparency, we'll show you. I took this off. It says here at the bottom. You probably can't read it right here. It's got the name of the girl on the left, Madeline, I guess, who HSU, and Allison Wyatt, also six, on the right, were shot dead Friday at their school. They're saying this girl was shot dead. But it wasn't her. This is the girl they finally replaced this picture by 2 weeks later. I call her Allison Wyatt number two. And my question is, why didn't her parents complain they had the wrong picture? No one saw them on television. They had the wrong picture for over 2 weeks. Now the next one. This was shown when Mrs. Wheeler sang Stars in the Sky as a memorial to the victims of Sandy Hook. How many children were killed? 20 children. How many adults? Six. That makes a total of 26. Does anybody see something strange about this one? There's five across, right? Five down. It's a square. How many pictures are up there? 25. How many people were killed? 26. Isn't there somebody missing? You won't see Allison Wyatt's picture up there in a memorial. No school closed circuit footage of the shooter coming in the school. They could show that. Remember the principal said we've got a new security system, got cameras up there. They could show the shooter coming in. After all, he had on a mask. He had a bulletproof vest. He's carrying four guns and all this ammunition. He walks up to the school. He can't get in because at 9:30 the doors are locked. If they don't recognize him as being someone who should be in the school, they have to show ID. Well, how did he get in? No close circuit footage of the shooting in the hallways and the schoolrooms. They could show him shooting away, not hitting any children, but just show him shooting. No footage of students who survived. One from one class. See, he went into one room and killed all the students, but this one student played dead. Then she ran out of the schoolroom. Where'd she go? She and her mother went to the pastor. The pastor testified this girl was covered in blood. I like to check that story out a little bit. And there were six from the other room. That's Miss Soto's room. Who supposedly, one of the kids yelled run, they ran out of the school. They caught a bus. That school bus took them right past the firehouse and let them off at Gene Rosen's house, where they sat in a circle, and Gene Rosen came out and said, oh, what's the matter with you? Come on in my house. Bizarre. The school had just set up the most modern of equipment to protect itself from difficulties like just happened. Where are the pictures? And there was the head of the medical team, Dr. Carver, appropriate name, Dr. Carver, who did eight autopsies. Where did he do the eight autopsies at? At the school. Who did the other 19 autopsies? Why were they done at the school? How could they have been done there? And wasn't he such a credible witness? All the dead children and adults were taken out of the school in the middle of the night. There was no proof that this was even done. There was no photographs, no video, no nothing. All the caskets were closed except one. And the top part of his body was covered. That was Noah Posner, whose mother was a Swiss agent of the United Nations. And his father and her divorced husband, well, he wasn't around much at all. And her brother is being sued because of the money trust that he set up for her for the donations to the Sandy Hook survivors. He also wrote a gun control statement signed by Noah's mother and about a dozen members of her family. Her brother was a lawyer for the Vatican. Wow. The town of Sandy Hook has been remade in the last 3 years. Did you know that? It's in the transportation. It's part of Agenda 21. That's a terrible thing. There's new businesses, new people, new town. New town. What's new town? And all the people who were parents of victims who were repeatedly interviewed were new to the town, too. Oh. It changed from the motorcycle riders brawling at bars to the new town. They all arrived within the last couple years. And on I could go, but I'm not going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about another mostly unknown view. Who did Jesus Christ call liars? You're liars. Who did he call liars? Jews. Well, we're going to see how they need to be exported from our country. On it goes. But I want to talk about another very interesting part of this story. In the video taken from the helicopter, you remember the helicopter flying up there? One can see, only if he looks very carefully, behind the firehouse of Newtown. There were 26 evergreen trees that were stacked in a pile. This was out of the general view of the public. This was on the day of the murder, December 14th. There was a stack of evergreen trees in the back of the firehouse. The next day, that'd be what, December 15th? The same trees were put outside the firehouse as Christmas trees, each one dedicated to the 26 victims who were supposedly murdered. The volunteer firemen were some of the men who decorated the trees. Let's think for a minute. 26 evergreen trees were hidden behind the firehouse and taken out and planted the next day for the 26 victims of the shooting. It sounds like some planning was going on. Now, we'll show you the picture of the Christmas trees. 26 Christmas trees are being set up next to the firehouse to remember the supposed slaughter of the 20 students and the 6 victims. But that's not the big story here. This also brings up another question. If the firehouse was so intent as to have Christmas trees, why didn't the elementary school have any Christmas or holiday decorations at all? Has your school ever had no decorations? The town had a Christmas tree lighting ceremony, but no Christmas decorations at the elementary school. Anybody see a picture of decorations in the windows? They were supposedly making gingerbread houses in Mississauga's first grade class, weren't they? But there was no Christmas tree in the lobby. And did you notice that Sandy Hook Elementary School had no Christmas decorations in the windows? This is December 14th. No snowflakes, no candles, no presents, no Christmas trees, no shepherds, no angels, no bells, no nothing. How strange was that? It's the only elementary school in the nation with no decorations. But that's not the main. There's more to it than that. The firehouse also put up 26 stars on the roof that represents what? The 26 murdered people. On the green flag flying underneath the United States flag outside the firehouse, we'll see this. Now, you see on the left up there, there's the green flag under the United States flag. And there is the sign that says, hitch your wagon to a star. I'll talk about that in a minute. There's the plaque, there's the green flag, and there's the 26 stars. The 26 stars are in the form of a...
What's that?
Oh, six-pointed star. On a plaque on the firehouse is this phrase, hitch your wagon to a star. That's from a poem by Ralph Waldo Emerson, which means that in the Newtown tragedy, there was a unity message. Now, Emerson, of course, led the Transcendentalist movement in the 1800s. He would probably be of what religion today? I bet you've never even heard of this religion. I didn't. Anybody hear of the Baha religion? B-A-H-A-I? You heard. Three people heard of the Baha religion. What is the Baha religion? They have about 5 million members in a lot of countries in the world. It started in what country? Does anybody remember what country it started in? Persia. How long ago? A century and a half ago. It started in Persia. Baha'ism is a sect of Islam. It's a sect of Babism, which is a sect of Shi'ism, which is a sect of Shi'ism, which also is considered a sect of Islam. I don't know what all those religions are. But it now claims to be a brand new religion. But here's where it gets very interesting. They have a very strong administrative system. The system is governed by the supreme seat in, can anybody give me the city and the country where the supreme seat of the Baha religion is? Haifa, Israel. The land of the... Oh. This is incredible. Wait till I tell you what happened to this thing. The most infallible body of Baha administration is headed by all male, nine individuals, and their collective decision is to believe to be inspired by God himself. Have to point out, although they believe in the equality between men and women, their supreme body does not allow membership to women for unknown reasons. Although they believe in mass teaching, direct teaching, children classes, adult classes, junior youth classes, all sort of classes for the masses, but they do not believe in teaching the innocent people who are the Jews of Israelite. According to them, Israelite Jews are not in need of the Baha'i faith. But Iranian Muslims can only gain success if they become Baha'is. Converting the faith to Israelite Jews is forbidden. In a span of 165 years, Baha'i faith has been divided into 17 more sects. The largest sect among Baha is the Orthodox Baha'is, with a large following in America. I didn't know it was in this country. America, Canada, Australia, India, Iran, and Africa. Who in the world belongs to the Baha faith? Now, there's a huge temple located in what city in America? Somebody take a wild guess. Oh, there it is. Oh, Wilmette, Illinois. Very good readers. Look at that big building. That's a massive building. And there's a person by the name, can't pronounce his first name. Is it Rain Wilson? He grew up in the Baha faith in Chicago. Rain Wilson is, you know him, because he's the person playing the crazy guy in the TV series called The Office. He's the second boss. They have a temple in the Chicago area. One of its main tenets is the elimination of religious prejudice. Baha faith is made up of people of all races, all creeds and all faiths. Rainn Wilson, who was interviewed by Oprah Winfrey, has been a Baha for his entire life, as his parents were members of this cult too. Now, there was another person who lived near this temple who joined the organization when he was 16 years old. This man's name is John Woodall. I'll tell you more about him later. Now, we'll talk a little bit about Oprah Winfrey. She received the Presidential Medal of Freedom along with Gloria Steinem and Bill Clinton and 13 others. This is the highest honor that is given to civilians in our nation. President Obama presented this award to the 16 recipients on November 20th, 2013. So that was what? 11 days ago. He presented to them. I watched it. The medal honors individuals who have made especially meritorious contributions to the security or national interests of the United States, to world peace, or to cultural and other significant public or private endeavor, especially if you're a lesbian or a homosexual. Media mogul Oprah Winfrey was honored as, quote, the world's most successful broadcast journalist, unquote, but will not be honored as being an antichrist. Quote, she is also an active philanthropist, expanding opportunities for young women around the world, unquote. They didn't mention that she was a member of the same Chicago church of anti-white pastor Jeremiah Wright, and also both the Obamas. Next is Gloria Steinem, getting her award. Steinem. She received her award 11 days ago. She received the award for causing the nation to violate God's law on the women question and aborticide. The White House, though, wrote that Gloria Steinem is, quote, a leader in the women's liberation movement, co-founded MS Magazine, and helped launch a wide variety of groups and publications dedicated to advancing civil rights. Civil rights. Miss Steinem has received dozens of awards over the course of her career and remains an active voice for women's rights, unquote. Then former President Clinton will also be one of the awards recipients, was one of the rewards recipients. All of his lies and sexual deviance are forgotten and forgiven. What a group. One needs to be a communist, an habitual liar, and maybe a lesbian and a homosexual, because they had a lesbian and a homosexual also in that thing. And you have a very good chance of receiving this highest award. But I don't want to talk about that. I just want to mention that that happened 11 days ago. Now we come to what happened December 16th. 14th was the supposed murder. The 16th was a very important meeting. Does anybody know what happened December 16th? They had a prayer service for the slain victim. What kind of prayer service was it? An interfaith prayer service. Remember that? Interfaith prayer service. Who spoke? Well, let's see. 2 days, that's December 16th, after the supposedly mass murder by Adam Lanza. No one's even heard of him for the last 3 years. But there was an interfaith meeting held in Newtown, Connecticut. President Obama attended and spoke during this meeting. This violated the very first commandment given our nation. What's that? You shall have no other gods. But there was Allah, another Jesus, humankind, Israeli, and others who were prayed to and honored. It was televised on CNN. There were many gods there. Except for the Lord God of the true Christian was absent. Some of the faiths who were there offered their prayers to the people of Newtown. First was the Congregational Church of Newtown, who headed it up. The second speaker was the congregation, I can't pronounce the word exactly right, Adithai, and he had the singing rabbi. He sang the prayer. Then the third was United Methodist Church and its Oriental pastor. The fourth was Trinity Episcopal Church and its woman pastor. Then the New Hope Community Church. Then the Muslims came out. They had a youngster and they had two male members do their prayer. United Methodist Church and its woman minister. The ninth was Christ the King Lutheran Church and a few others. But the eighth speaker is the one I'm going to talk about. The eighth speaker was a member of the Baha faith and its two leaders, John and Margot Woodall. He's a psychologist, and he has counseled trauma victims from Uganda, Africa, to Bosnia, Europe, to New York City following the 9/11 hoax. But he never figured on doing the same in Newtown, Connecticut, where he and his wife lived. Now, where is he from? He grew up in Chicago. He went to the Baha Temple when he was 16 years old. He and his wife went to what country do you think they made a pilgrimage to? Israel, in the year 2009. With his future wife, who he married in 2012, he said, quote, "It's heavily ironic. My wife and I just got back from Uganda working with child soldiers," unquote. Woodall's specialty over the years has been helping to build resiliency among children exposed to traumatic situations. You never trust what a Jew says. Quote, "It's always someplace else," he said, "never in my backyard." He's in charge of the Unity Project based in where? Newtown, Connecticut. Now, here's the story. Woodall was working in a hospital at Holyoke, Massachusetts, the day when his wife, Margot, paged him. "She never does that," he said. So he knew something was wrong. After speaking with her, he drove back to Newtown, listening to news reports as the extent of the massacre began to emerge. After making a brief stop at the Newtown school superintendent's office to offer his help, what? You would stop at the superintendent's office? Would she be in the office when this mass murder? Let me tell you about the school superintendent. She is a woman. She was offered another job the day before, December 13th, at another school district. She had accepted it. But because of the shooting that took place, she had to turn it down for a while. And she had a stormy relationship with the who? Chairman of the Board of Education. Oh, a stormy relationship with the chairman of the board. These two lesbians are getting all kinds of fighting. She resigned now. She's now resigned and took another job. Just tell you her background, what happened. So he stops at her office and asks to offer his help. He then drives to the fire station in Sandy Hook. Did he talk to even one student who was at the firehouse at the time he arrived? He couldn't have got there before noon. I mean, the shooting took place the time his wife found out and called him, and he had to leave his work and drive down there and go to the superintendent's office. It had to be afternoon. Were all the students gone by noon? The shooting took place at least 2.5 hours before Mr. Woodall could get to the firehouse. I looked it up on the map where Holyoke was, and so how far it was to drive there. That's where the children who evacuated the school were led soon after the shootings. That's where the first responders from throughout the area gathered. And this I found amazing. The fire station is also across the street from the house where Margot Woodall, that's his wife, once lived. She lived right across the street. But after driving from the hospital in Holyoke, Massachusetts, to Newtown, Connecticut, going to the superintendent's office and the fire station, what children did he see? Do you see any video of Mr. Woodall talking to any children? I didn't. Mr. Woodall described watching in amazement as the normally quiet neighborhood filled with one emergency service vehicle after another. That didn't happen after noon. Ambulances that come pouring in there. In fact, the emergency vehicles didn't take anybody out of the school. John Woodall described, Woodall said he tried to help by talking to anyone who seemed alone and by themselves at that point. Well, I didn't see any photos of him at the firehouse counseling anyone. He'd be alone at a time like this. Let's look at the impressive Baha Temple in Israel. Impressive buildings and grounds. This is the world headquarters for the 5 million people in many countries. That's incredible. But on Sunday night, he read a prayer at the interfaith service attended by President Obama. What prayer was he reading? Woodall went as a lay representative of the era's Baha faith. He and his wife had one child attending Newtown High School and another who graduated from Newtown. Unity Project is in full go at the high school. On Tuesday after the tragedy, what happened on Friday, Woodall said he talked to the Newtown High School principal about ways to help guide the students. Children are resilient in these situations, Woodall said. The research backs that up, he said. Kids do very well with this kind of event, especially if you give them some guidance along the way. So the children don't do good if you don't give them some unit project guidance? What did the people do before the Unity Project came to be? He and his wife were involved in a program called the Unity Project, which tries to foster such resiliency. Woodall said his hope is that students commit to doing 3 positive actions by next week. The event itself is senseless, but the future is whatever we want it to be, Woodall said. It's as noble and bright as we have the courage to envision. Instead of being caught up in the senselessness of the event, have them become a part of the building that future, he added. The kids can become role models. Who are they role models to? Their parents? The head man is a former professor from Harvard. Oh, no wonder he's so bad. Used to teach at Harvard. He married Margot in 2012 and has 2 stepsons. Remember one graduated from Newtown High School? The other's in Newtown High School. They live in Newtown, Connecticut. Is that a coincidence? John Woodall and his wife, Margot, are head of the Unity Chapel, which has its headquarters in Haifa, Israel. Woodall, who is a psychiatrist, which is totally anti-Christian, is a Jew. Psychiatry were started a little over 100 years ago, were started by Jews. It tells how one can live their lives without God. It's all a bunch of gobbledygook. It's totally anti-Christian. They have worked with the students of Newtown, but in the high school and lower grade, both in the high school and lower grades. They have their survivor skills in effect for the purpose of bringing peace to the earth. Here's what they said on the televised CNN Interface show on Sunday night, December 16th. I'm going to read you what they said in their prayer. The Woodall shared the following words of comfort at the Interfaith Memorial Service in Newtown, which was nationally televised on CNN. The passage was originally offered by Abdu'l-Baha, who is the son of the founder of the Baha faith. So the son of the founder wrote this letter to a mother who was grieving for her deceased son. The Woodhulls read this letter as the prayer. They changed a few of the words, and I will show you in the text what words they changed. So, if you've got that, I'll show you what he said. He took the microphone, and he spoke for the mothers and fathers, and brothers and sisters and grandparents and all of you today. This is part of the sacred text of my faith and was written as a letter to a mother who was mourning the loss of her child. And I have adopted it for this evening. So that's the introduction. Now, he did read the first part of the letter and started, "Although the loss of a son is indeed heartbreaking and beyond the limits of human endurance, yet one who knoweth and understandeth is assured that," they scratched out son and put child, "hath not been lost, but rather have stepped from this world into another, and you will find him in the divine realm. That reunion shall be for eternity, while in this world separation is inevitable and bringeth with it a burning grief. Praise be unto God that thou hast faith, art turning thy face towards the everlasting kingdom, and believest in the existence of a heavenly world. Therefore be thou not disconsolate, do not languish, do not sigh, neither wail nor weep, for agitation and mourning deeply affected their soul in the divine realm." Then his wife came up. She took the microphone and she finished the letter. "The beloved child addresses thee from the hidden world. O thy kind mother," and then she added, "and father, thank divine providence that I have been freed from a small and gloomy cage, and like the birds of the meadows have soared to the divine world, a world which is spacious, illumined, and ever," she changed the word to joyous and jubilant. "Therefore lament not, O father and mother, and be not grieved. I am not of the lost, nor have I been obliterated and destroyed. I have shaken off the mortal form and have raised my banner in the spiritual world. Following this separation is everlasting companionship. Thou shalt find me in the heaven of the Lord, immersed in the ocean of light," unquote. Well, this is the death culture. Remember, Boston, strong. Sandy Hook, strong. Sandy Hook chooses love. It's born of a global agenda that can be the most giving. It brought in millions of dollars because of the hoax tragedy. From its headquarters in Haifa, Israel, and under the authority of the Universal House of Justice, Baha is overseen country to country by national and local spiritual assemblies. The religion is an international phenomenon, with a spiritual founder prophesying a global social political transformation. And here's another view of the Temple of Baha in Haifa, Israel, the world headquarters of the faith. On the other side, it goes down. You saw the other picture. Here it is. Beautiful. Isn't it magnificent? Look at those gardens. Amazing. Its founder, and I'll mess up his name, it's Baha'u'llah. He lived from 1817 to 1892. Now get this is amazing. Is regarded by Baha'is as the most recent and aligned of messengers of God that stretches back beyond recorded time, and that includes Abraham, Moses, Buddha, Krishna, Zoroaster, Jesus Christ, Muhammad, and then you get Baha'u'llah. They're all the same people. the line of saint people. The central theme of Baha'u'llah's message is, what's the central theme? All the people of the earth are of one single race. Oh. That's what answers in Genesis believes, don't they? Everyone comes from Adam. That's what they believe. All the people of the earth come from one person. And that the day has come for its unification in the one global society. God, the leader of this religion said, has set in motion historical forces that are breaking down traditional barriers of race, class, creed, and nation. And that will in time give birth unto a universal civilization. In 1982, the Baha faith went before the United Nations and said, quote, the goal of the new world order, divine in origin, all-embracing in scope, equitable in principle, challenging in its features, that harassed humanity must strive, unquote. I will show you what their guiding philosophy and goals include. All people of the earth are from one family. Women and men are equal. That's feminine movement. Remember Gloria Steinem got her award for feminism? Women now are becoming the same as men. Equal pay, equal this, everything's equal. All prejudice, racial prejudice, religious prejudice. All religions are equal. You believe that? Betty, I don't believe that. National, all nations are the same. What about the covenants God made with his people? Think of it all the same. All economics. Didn't God say how to be the head and not the tail? All these prejudices are destructive and must be overcome. We must investigate truth for ourselves without preconceptions. Science and religion are in harmony. Our economic problems are linked to our spiritual problems. All major religions come from God. Our religion and the Jewish religion all come from the same God. Aren't they opposing views? World peace is the crying need of our time. Our God didn't say it was the crying need of the time. Oh, look at the last one. Universal, compulsory education. What do you think they're going after? Homeschoolers. If this is indeed the basis of a global religion, before which all other beliefs and denominations must yield. What? All other beliefs and denominations must yield? There are a number of obvious concerns. I've talked about the religious concerns, but what about national and economic prejudice? Will one's economic wherewithal be contingent upon converting to a new state-mandated religion? And along these lines, if science and religion are conflated, what entities will help determine the moral parameters of the many scientific pursuits that run counter to and endanger life on Earth? Under such a theme, will psychiatrists, who mainly are Jews, and bioethicists make up a new clergy? Many of the Baha tenets would fit well into a technological order where the state is the foremost authority. Well, let's look at that. What do they teach is the forthrightly political project called for? Oh, they want a world superstate. That's not about a new world order, is it? A world legislature? Who makes the laws? Our God makes the laws. Oh, look at the third one. Unification of all of the world's religions under the umbrella of the Baha faith. A world parliament, a world police force, a supreme tribunal, election of leaders through merit alone without nominations. Oh, get this, a permanent single world currency. A world taxation system. Have you ever heard that? I heard that floating around. A single universal auxiliary language. Implementation of Agenda 21. If you haven't heard about Agenda 21, it's happening in the United States. I think I'll bring a message on it. It's relocating people from off the coast, putting them into high rises like it is in China, but it's happening. And the Earth Charter, what's that about? That's UN stuff. An establishment of a world free trade area. This is what this organization stands for. It's the religion of the New World Order. What? Sandy Hook, and this is related? I'll show you how it's related. Along with the institutionalized secular faith of carbon-centric environmentalism that figures centrally in Baha's undertakings, the Unity Project's understated transnationalism is likewise making inroads at public schools and in communities throughout the world. Newtown was one such town. It's called the Transformation Town, Agenda 21. As in his previous endeavors, the Sandy Hook tragedy has provided the backdrop for Woodall's evangelizing that seeks to realign the transmatized individual and groups towards certain ideas and norms. What is arguably of concern is that Woodall proceeds under the cover of mental health professional while espousing an ardent globalist ideology that runs counter to the traditional political beliefs and religious faiths that, for better or worse, are espoused by a majority of the world's population. In a broader scheme of things, the impulses and goals of the anti-individualistic Baha faith and Dr. Woodall's Unity Project provide clear glimpses of what may soon become a prevalent, if not compulsory, worldview, the elements of which are already being employed to ease the world population into a heightened tempo of violent and traumatic meditated events, to ease the world's population into a heightened tempo of violent and traumatic meditated events en route to a digitally enforced feudalism of the 21st century. Now, if you show us the next thing, Sandy Hook Promise. Oh, you notice their logo up the top? It's a picture of a tree, but the trunk is a hand, and the leaves are handprints. How many handprints do you think make up the leaves of that tree? Oh, 26. Oh, the 26 murdered people. And you promise to do what? I promise to honor the 26 lives lost at Sandy Hook Elementary School. I guess you don't count the 27th one who died. I promise to do everything I can to encourage and support common sense solutions that make my community common sense solutions. What's that mean? I'll show you what it means in a little bit. Common sense solutions that make my community and our country safer from similar acts of violence. A million hearts for Newtown. Well, my conclusion, what a scam this is. How convenient that the supposed murders occurred where the leaders of the Baha Faith Unity Project were located. They got the exposure on national television on the interfaith prayer service. The rabbi sang his prayer. The Muslims had their prayer too. And the Christians, quote unquote, were mostly represented by two women pastors and foreigners. What an absolute disgrace. But did the Baha faith stop with the interfaith meeting? Absolutely not. It's in the town slogan. We are Sandy Hook. We choose. Anybody see that slogan? It's all throughout town. The Baha faith put that up. They sponsored that one. And it is in the organization that is led by three members of parents, quote unquote, of three of the victim children who are on the board. Down here I have their website. I suggest that you go on this website, www.sandyhookpromise.org. You look at that website. It will open up your eyeballs. The first member is Nicole Hockley, communications director. Her son was Dylan. The second one is Neba Marquez Green, mental health recreational wellness director. This was the white woman with the black husband. They had the mixed child who was killed, supposedly killed. And Mark Barden, the advocacy director. So Hockney, Marquez Green, and Barden are the three directors of this organization. It is called Parent Together Organization. Now, if you go to their website, which I had up there, you will find that as of last Saturday, that's November 23rd, 2013, when I went on there, there have been 260,318 people who made the Sandy Hook promise. And what is that promise? Now, up in the left-hand corner, they have it spelled out a little more specifically. It says that we will, quote, parent together to prevent gun violence in our communities. It's a gun control. So I go to their website. Oh, there's the tree again, isn't it? Then they went on, they got their organization going by going on the Good Morning America show. This woman is Nicole Hockley. This is Wheeler, Hockley and Weaver. And they were spokespeople for, what's the name of the organization? Parent Together. Why do we have to parent together? Because we're going to prevent gun violence in our communities. Nicole Hockley, who represented her dead son, Dylan, and David Wheeler, who represented his dead son, Ben, were the representatives for the Parent Together on Good Morning America. There they are. And you can click that on and see what they said. They made the point at how separated the Congress is from the views of the people. No, they weren't talking about Obamacare. No, they weren't talking about aborticide. They were talking about gun violence. Nicole Hockley said, quote, it doesn't matter what your politics are. I guess you could be a communist or a capitalist. I don't know what you want to be. It doesn't matter what your religion is. It doesn't matter what your financial situation is. All of our differences doesn't matter if we put our children first. Well, that's a lie. Politics are important. Religion's important. And your financial situation's important. Sandy Hook Promise announced the launch of Parent Together, a national grassroots campaign to educate and empower parents to prevent gun violence in their communities. Emphasizing mental wellness, connection to community, and gun safety, the campaign will bring parents together around the common love for all children to help. Sandy Hook Promise, the name of the organization, launched Parent Together, the other organization, and John Woodall's Student Resiliency. They're all together. As you travel around the website, you'll find the Baha Faith is instrumental in this organization. This travesty, anti-Christian, this thing shouldn't even be in the United States. When you hit the Innovation Initiative at the top of the website, here's what you see. So the next one is, in line with Sandy Hook Promise mission to turn tragedy into transformation and to make our communities and nations a safer place, we announced the formation of the Sandy Hook Promise Invocation Initiative on March 14, 2013. While legislative efforts are very important and we continue to support these efforts, we also believe that the solution cannot be passing new laws alone, and that there are other effective solutions that don't involve Washington. We each have a role to play in making our families and communities safer. There is a link to the Baha Faith, Unity Project, Parent Together, Sandy Hook Promise, and Student Resiliency. But the website also sells products. They sell, what's this here? Anybody see the green nail polish? You buy green nail polish, put it on, say, I'm Sandy Hook Promise. T-shirts. T-shirt, got the tree, Sandy Hook Promise. Car magnets. These are the wristbands, lapel pins, and sweatbands. There's also a very interesting story in the John Trevacosta. Where does he live? Right next door to the Lanzas. Right. 34th Ugandia Street. Now, John Trevacosta, CEO of Newtown Savings Bank, he just got put on the Federal Reserve Advisory Council. I'll read this one line here. Trevacosta is the sole representative from a Connecticut bank, the other 10 advisors from New York, New Jersey, and Puerto Rico. There's a story there, but I haven't got time to get into it. The weave of lies just keeps on going. You get one lie to the other. Who's the liar? Who did our Savior say were liars? May our Lord and God keep revealing their plans, and may we have the desire to keep on telling them to our members and friends. There's hipster dupes, trial lawyers, banksters, and war machine bootlickers are dancing on the graves of allegedly dead children and are aligned to strip you of the most effective tools to resist the tyranny. There is no doubt that these scumbags would be getting funded by your tax dollars through some kind of a stimulus grant to deprive you of liberty very, very soon. I want to read something that Pastor Ramsey wrote. The trial of abortion doctor Gushnell, the onward march of gay couples with state blessing and the Boston bombing, most likely is a black ops operation. Makes it seem that the wicked are on an unstoppable course. But I'm here to tell you that there is a God. With churches trying to meld Muhammad and Christ into one religion, with the military, the schools, and the government trying to stop any witnessing about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it seems that Christianity is doomed. But I'm here to tell you that there is a God. The world does not know our God. His name is Jesus the Christ. He created the world and he maintains the world. One reason I know that Gore and climate warming is wrong is because Jesus Christ is sustaining the world and has promised to do so until he's ready to make changes. The wicked are on the fast track to bring about the one world order. Why? Because Satan knows his time is short. The church, with few exceptions, has become totally apostate. That only a few Christians know the makeup of true Christianity. Christianity is diametrically opposed to current day thinking. Are we opposed to this Sandy Hook hoax? True Christianity does not believe that diversity is strength. True Christianity does not believe that all races are equal. Christianity does not believe that all races should intermingle socially, politically, religiously, genetically, or in any other way. Our God foretold us that we would be outnumbered and surrounded by the enemy in the last days of this age. We may appear to be outnumbered and surrounded and defeated, but there is a God, our God. He is alive. He is on the throne. His name is Jesus the Christ. And he will have the last word, the last judgment, and the last say. The mingled races will not overcome God's Israel people in their new homes regathered in Europe and North America. God has laid claim to these lands for his people. And God has established his law forever. And for all the demons in hell and the kings of the nation, their armies cannot defeat him or stop him or slow him or weaken him or change one iota of his promises and prophecies. There is a God. He is our God. Praise his name. In 13 days will be the first anniversary of Sandy Hook murder. Look for the organization that the Antichrist wants you to be part of. Be separate. Don't join the groups. Acknowledge them as being nothing more than another false flag. The school building now has been totally destroyed. The strange thing is that they could have no photographs and nothing taken out of the school building. Everything that could be crushed into powder was crushed to powder, and everything else had to be taken off and destroyed. Everything had to be completely destroyed, just like it was Oklahoma City, 9/11, and now Sandy Hook. I will tell you that Christian identity will never be under the umbrella of the Baha faith. We will fight all these false religions and beliefs who united together. We will stand alone if need be. We will accept no other God except for the one who delivered our ancestors from slavery in Egypt. The one who made the covenant with Abraham, swore to Isaac and Jacob and his descendants. We don't advocate or promise to parent together, to eliminate guns. We believe it is the parents' right to raise their children, not the whole community. We don't choose love. We choose the love of our God. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Amen.